Hi, I'm John Hilliard, assistant editor with SearchDisasterRecovery.com. I'm here today with Pierre Dorian to talk a little bit about storage and backup basics for disaster recovery. Pierre is the data center practice director and a senior consultant with Longview Systems in Phoenix, Arizona, where they specialize in the areas of business continuity and disaster planning services, as well as corporate data protection. Over the past 10 years, he has focused primarily on the development of recovery strategies, IT resilience and recoverability, as well as data protection and availability engagements at the data center level. How's it going today, Pierre?
Very well. How about yourself?
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate the time on this. I guess we'll just start with the basics. Can you just offer some best practices for storing data for disaster recovery?
Well, there's a number of technologies that we can leverage from a best practice standpoint. Obviously, each technology will have to fit the needs, and we're talking mostly in terms of volume of data to that depth. Traditionally, we've used tape. Today, we're using more and more disk. In some instances, in small environments, you can use removable media. That said, the one common element to all of these is that data needs to be taken elsewhere, off-site, or away from the main location, because this is essentially, there's two things you want to protect your data from. Obviously, system failure, which is why you copy the data, but then further to that, there could be a disastrous event affecting your facility, causing loss of your IT environment. It doesn't matter how many backups you have on site at that point. If the data was not moved away from that location, the data is lost. So it's really a twofold thing. Going back to my initial comments, tape or disk or removable media are all acceptable and still considered best practice, but essentially take the data offsite.
With all the technology that's out there right now, you know, speaking of tape, I mean, is tape still relevant for disaster recovery?
We hear a lot of talk about tape going away, tape going away. I would say that in a lot of sense, we've improved technology. If you think about VCR cassettes, and now we're using Blu-ray, obviously technology has moved forward leaps and bounds. That said, there's some significant investments that were made in tape technology, and it is still relevant today. As much as it is an older technology, you can think, especially in terms of smaller environments, and I'll go back to that a number of times. Smaller environments are always kind of specific or special because they have the same data protection requirements as larger companies in the sense that they need to protect their data. It needs to be available for them to do business. That said, they don't have the same budget. And a lot of times if you made an investment a few years back in tape technology and if it's still working for you, it's still very relevant. It is really a question of how much data you're backing up and how quickly you need it restored. And that's a very important question when you're talking about disaster recovery. You need to plan your strategy in terms of or in function of how quickly you need things restored. Obviously, if you want things restored instantly, tape technology may not be the answer in most cases. If you need a failover type of scenario where you cannot have any downtime, tape is not your answer. You need to start looking at data replication and clustering and so on and so forth, which is, tape is not conducive to support that type of technology.
Another issue that comes up a lot when you're talking about DR is remote replication. I was wondering, what do you need to make remote replication effective? For example, is WAN optimization necessary?
Well, WAN optimization is definitely a plus, and I'll have to qualify this here. We talked earlier about the volume of data. That's where it starts counting, because we need to realize that WAN optimization devices are not cheap. That technology comes at a price, and it's only really valid if you have very large amounts of data that you need to replicate. When we're talking today about block-level replication, we're minimizing the amount of data that we're replicating. We're not doing full mirrors all the time, or we're not copying the entire data set. And on top of that, now we hear more and more about deduplication coming into play, which in itself uses a similar pattern as WAN optimization. So it is useful in some cases, but not necessary all the time. And one thing even more important that I need to stress here when we're talking about data replication is meant to take your data elsewhere. We talked about that earlier, taking your data off-site. We tend to focus too much on getting the data out of here or away or off-site and backing it up, copying it, but we lose focus on what happens when we need to use that data in the event of a disaster. So if the connectivity was so poor that we need, restricted enough that we needed to use something like LAN optimization to get our data across the wire, what happens when we try to get it back if we had a major site disaster? That becomes an issue. You need to think about that. It's not all about backing up the data. It's about being able to use it following a disaster. That's the ultimate goal here. So if you're trying to bring back an entire data set after it was destroyed, well, now we have serious issues. We need a lot of bandwidth to bring it back. So that's a very important element to consider.
Well, that's actually a good point that I wanted to raise with you because, you know, connectivity is really, you know, a major component of using what's this new service out there, cloud storage. I was wondering if you could talk about the pros and cons. I think you just hit on one, you know, issue, which could be, you know, how strong is your, how good is your connection to the cloud in case of, you know, data recovery. I was wondering if you could talk about the pros and cons of that and, you know, whether or not cloud services are, you know, are really relevant for just the SMB market, or can you see, you know, use for the cloud for the enterprise?
That's a very good question, actually, and we're talking more and more about this, the cloud, you know, it's everywhere. And I think it ties really nicely into what I was saying earlier, bandwidth and connectivity and data volume, especially. In a lot of sense, for smaller companies, if you remember a few years back for individuals, we had Moxie that was purchased by EMC later on. You know, these are very useful for small amounts of data where you can send it across the network from a home connection. You start increasing the volume of data that you're backing up, again, because a lot of times the backup itself is incremental or block level or, you know, file level, depending on how it's done. That's all fine and dandy. The data is protected. Accessibility when you need the data becomes the issue. You can imagine a very large company that has terabytes of data that is backing it up on a, you know, to a cloud service provider. You need more than that because you're going to want to access that data from a specific location. The type of pipe that you need between that chosen recovery location and where your data is needs to be taken into consideration. You will need a lot of bandwidth. You may not be able to have an application in one location accessing data in another location. So when you start looking at enterprise-level backup, we start having to consider where will I restore my systems, my applications, and how will I access that data. And a lot of times it brings you to the conclusion that not only should is it okay to back up your data on the cloud, but you probably should have more services on the cloud as well to access that data. You typically want your application relatively close to your data. So large data volumes, it goes beyond simply cloud backup. We need to start talking about potentially infrastructure as a service, platform as a service on the cloud as well to complement the data that's being replicated to bring our infrastructure closer to the data.
What about other service providers? Can a company outsource DR entirely rather than just storing the data in the cloud?
And that's exactly the point I was making here. And that's very important. If you look at companies like SunGard that's been doing this for a very long time, IBM as well, these companies have had some very successful services providing DR. So they're basically providing you an alternative recovery site. Your data is being replicated. They have standby equipment that is ready to be deployed, sometimes even hot equipment where replication is taking place. And today, some cloud service providers, many of them are starting to offer a similar type of service. I'm thinking of one in particular, Geminar, that offers a virtual platform where your application, your operating system, everything is being replicated and ready for failover. which also gives you a very nice opportunity to test as well, because now you're not disrupting your environment. You can test your remote environment. So there's definitely a big plus to outsourcing your entire DR as opposed to just the backup, especially in very high volume. But it's also useful for the SMB that really doesn't want to deal with the cost of the capital expenditure of buying standby infrastructure. Now you're buying into a service. It becomes an operational cost. It becomes your insurance policy.
Speaking on the opposite side of the coin, I mean, you know, what are the benefits of doing a DR in-house?
Excuse me. That was a pause. On the flip side of that, obviously, you know, running your own DR has some definite advantages. It does have some disadvantages as well, so let me get into that a little bit. The advantages may be that, especially if you're in a high-security, highly confidential, protected type of data, sending your data to the cloud or to a service provider that is not strictly dedicated or cannot provide necessarily the type of level of comfort you want from a security perspective may force you to own your own DR. The downside to that is obviously the cost. Now there's a capital cost that you need to take into consideration. It really depends on the type of IT budget as well, the type of skills you have, the type of facility you have. It could be relatively easy to own your own DR infrastructure if you have, for example, two data centers in two separate towns and your company is big enough to have that. You can start leveraging each facility as a DR for the other facility. That said, we always need to take into consideration the element of capacity. You don't want to be spending money on idle equipment, so you tend to leverage that equipment to try to make the best out of your IT investment and not have things dormant. This is where the concept of the private cloud comes into play. For those not familiar with that, the public cloud is obviously when you deal with a service provider and gives you that elastic grow as you need type of infrastructure. It is not uncommon today with technologies like vBlock from VCE or FlexPod from NetApp to build your own infrastructure, your own cloud infrastructure that allows you that portability and that because it's all virtual, based on virtual machines, but also the ability to expand quickly. So now you can start deploying infrastructures, your own private cloud in two separate locations, and leverage your own infrastructure for DR. That said, it is capital extensive, so it is not for everyone. I would say that smaller companies gain a lot to outsourcing DR.
Very cool, very cool. Some good thoughts about DR today. Thanks again for speaking with me today about this, Pierre.
Well, my pleasure, John.
All right. Well, for more information about virtualization and disaster recovery, please visit our website at searchdisasterrecovery.com. I'm John Hilliard, and thanks for listening.